Men have been called a number of things throughout the ages, maybe even in your house. Men have been called different things, the different words used to describe men. And just my few years of existence, I've heard words like ape, pig, you know, you're so gross. I've heard, you know, you're heartless. One time I had in the church experience, I had in the same week, two different people come to me. One person came to me and said, "You're so hard-hearted, you need to develop a softer personality." And 2 days later, another person came to me and said, you're so thin-skinned, you need to develop a harder personality. And so we get called all kinds of things, and some of them, you know, are deserved. We can be a bit apish at times, and sometimes, yeah, we can be as dirty as a pig, and so on. But we're going to look into what the Bible has to say, and so we're going to give you a word for men. In all seriousness, my intention here is not to cause any offense, but to encourage us to understand the Word of God. However, as a preacher of the Word of God, that by itself, by its very nature, can be offensive. People take offense to the Word of God. And so I'm not going to change what I preach because somebody might find it offensive. The Bible itself explains that it is offensive to those who would not hear it or would not believe it. And so this morning I am going to give you a word for men. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." I want you to understand that God said, "Let us make mankind." And so in that statement, he included all of mankind, male and female. In Psalm 139:13, it says, "For you were created in you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." That applies to everyone, all of mankind, both male and female. Let me point out in Genesis 1:26 again that it says, "Let us make man." Who is us? Us is the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1 explains that Jesus was the creative entity of the Godhead. And so there, very early in Scripture, we have this idea presented to us of a triune God, the doctrine of the Trinity. Let us make mankind in our image. And so I want you to understand that if you are here this morning, if you are breathing, you are created in the image of God. So we are created by God and created in his image. You say, "Well, duh. I mean, we know that." Well, do we? Because if we were created by God and by his design, then whose design was it? The Creator, right? We have this idea, we have, as a society, as a people, as a population, all over the world, we have come up with this idea that we can kind of create ourselves in our image, in what we think we ought to be. Or we can create ourselves in the image of God, but we have a false image of who God is. But he is the creator. And so as the creator, he is sovereign, and it is he who decides how we should be created, how we are created, how we should be. He's the one that set up all the rules. We live in a world where there are no rules anymore. There is no male and female. There is no husband and wife. It's just all confusing. And with that confusion comes all kinds of problems. We think we're solving one problem, and that only opens the door to another problem. And now we get to the place where we can look at the world and say, man, the world has gone completely mad, completely crazy. I don't even know how many different types of genders there are. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says that there are two. And they are created in the image of God. And when we step away from that, we enter into all this confusion and all of this anxiety and all of this depression, all of this mental illness, which, if you listen to the news reports, is on the rise. Why? Because people have lost sight of who they are. They have no idea who they are anymore, and they're trying to find themselves, but they're trying to find themselves apart from God. We are created by God and created in His image. I'm going to say some things which are true, but don't. Rather than just react to the statement, I want you to listen to me. Men and women are created equal in the image of God. Men and women are created equal in the image of God. What do I mean by that? I mean that men aren't more like God than women, or women aren't more like God than men. We are created equal in the image of God. When God created us, He said, let us make mankind in our image, male and female, in our image. So we are equally created in the image of God. However, letter B, men and women are wired differently by design. We are wired differently by design. No matter what you hear, no matter what somebody tells you, no matter what some well-dressed news reporter says, men and women are different. We are different. We can't be like each other. We can't decide to become the other. We are different by God's design. Well, I don't like that. Well, tough. He is the creator. It was His decision to make us that way. And when we stray from that, we enter into all kinds of problems. You say, well, Pastor, that's very simple-minded of you. Okay, I like being simple. I am a simple person. I like things to be simple. So do you. So does everybody. When you go to a doctor, do you want him to be broad-minded or simple-minded? Well, you want him to be simple-minded. You want them to take care of the problem specifically. When you get on an airplane, do you want the pilot to be broad-minded or simple-minded? You wanted him to be simple-minded. You want him to follow the rules of that of physics in flying a plane. You don't want him to stray from that. You don't want him to suddenly say, you know what? I think this plane is made to go underwater. Let's try it. Because why? Because I've decided that this plane is amphibious. So we're going to fly into the ocean. You do not want him to be broad-minded. You want him to be narrow-minded with the understanding that a plane is built and designed for a certain purpose. But when it comes to human beings, we want to deny the purpose of God, and we want to come up with our own ideas of who we are. Men and women are wired differently by design. We know some of the differences. They say that men typically speak fewer words than women. And that's true. Women like to talk. The path to intimacy with a woman is through communication. With a man, it's touch or visual sight. We were made different. Men, contrary to what you hear, are stronger physically than women. That's why we have this issue of these transgender men who have decided that they're now a woman wanting to play in women's sports. Why? If we weren't different, why would it be an issue? But it's an issue, why? Because we are different. It's the way God designed us. It's the way He created us. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God created us. Letter C, women were created for man. Now, before you get excited about that, let me explain. Both God and both man and woman were made in the image of God. We were both made for God. We were both made by God. But when God made man, He said to Himself, because He is three persons, they had a little conference, and they looked at man, and they said, this guy's going to need some help. You know, in the Bible, when God created everything, every day, at the end of the day, what did He say? He said, it is good. But then when He created man, and He looked at man being by himself, what did He say? Uh-oh. It is not good. He said, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, women, when you leave the house and you leave your kids or have left your kids with your husband, you worry, don't you? I mean, you worry about what your husband's going to do. Or if you go away for a long period of time, you worry about what you're going to find when you get home, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. Maybe God had some insight into that, and He said, I'm going to create a helper for him because he needs help. Now, some people automatically, when they think of helper, they think of somebody who's like subservient, somebody who is there kind of like as, you know, to do whatever I ask you to do. Well, that's an incorrect interpretation of that concept of help. Helper is not a bad word. In Psalm 27:9, it says, David says, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Now here, David describes himself, as he's speaking to God, he describes himself as a what? As a servant. He says, do not turn your servant. Do not turn me away in your anger. So he describes his relationship with God as, I am God's servant. But then he says, you have been my helper. And so you say, well, that's kind of confusing. Well, no, God is our helper. In Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. So you would not describe God as our helper by being subservient to us. He's not beneath us. We don't describe that God that way, but somehow in our male minds, sometimes we have the tendency to think that because woman is our helper, that they are somewhat beneath us in status or relationship, but that is not the case. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. God designed women for men as their helper. So let me ask you, put it to you this way. I have a grandson and a granddaughter. Now, they're very different in personality, and they're just different. But it's exciting to me when my grandson says to me, "Papa, can you help me? Papa, can you help me?" Does that diminish me in any way? Does that diminish my role or my responsibility? Do I say to him, "Whoa, whoa, 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 I'm your papa. You're supposed to help me. I don't help you." No, that would be cruel. So as a good papa, I help my grandson. I serve my grandson. And that makes me what? A better papa. And sometimes my grandson, when I'm doing something, he'll say, "Papa, can I help you?" And I love to hear that too. And really, what is that about? Does he have the capability to help me? Not really. Does he have the capacity to do what I can do? No. But what is it about, really? It's about relationship. It's about spending time engaged in a project together. So sure, Joshua, you can help me. It's all about relationship. Now, my granddaughter doesn't say, "Papa, can you help me?" She says, "All by self," or "I do it myself." She learned that from her mother. That was her mother's favorite phrase, "Well, all by self." But once in a while, she'll say, "Papa, help. Papa, help." God is our helper. And so we look to him and we say, "Father, help." God created our women, and not just our wives, but women in general, to be our helper. It doesn't diminish them. It doesn't make them smaller or any less of a person. If anything, it elevates them and lifts them up because we need them. The second point I want to give you this morning is this. We are created with a purpose. Men, we are created with a purpose. Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. When he had fulfilled God's purpose for his life, God took him home. For us as believers, when we fulfill God's purpose in our lives, he will take us home. Ultimately, what is the purpose of all of mankind? We were created why? For his pleasure. We were created to bring glory to him. when we fulfill that purpose, it will be our time. It will be our time to go. In Ephesians 5:15 through 17, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." We are created to fulfill the will of God. People wonder, well, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? Who am I? We ask all these questions, and all of the answers to these questions are found in Scripture. But we don't like that, because while we were created in the image of God, we are not God. There was a T-shirt one time that had a phrase on it, and it was great. I only saw it once, but it said, "There is a God, and you are not him." There's a profound truth in that. There is a God, there is a creator, and you are not him. He decided who you would be. He decided what sex you would be. He decided your personality, your characteristics, your talents, your gifts. He decided everything. And once we begin to accept that and begin to work in that, then we will have inner peace. And all this turmoil that we see will disappear. Why? Because we will fulfill the purpose of God. I love this statement. True masculinity, which masculinity has become a bad word, but true masculinity is the humble, glad assumption of God-given responsibility. It is the humble, glad assumption. In other words, assuming that responsibility. Assuming it humbly. That's what masculinity is. In other words, masculinity, true masculinity, is being what God created you to be. It's nothing else. We hear phrases like toxic masculinity and all of that stuff, and we've seen in our society the kind of diminishment of the role of man. You know, sitcoms and whatever for men, they aren't as masculine. They're goofballs, they're goof-ups, they're, you know, whatever. And we've come to kind of accept that in society. That wasn't God's design. But true masculinity is becoming what God intended you to be. And it's going to be different for everybody. I mean, true masculinity is not being like me, owning guns and going hunting and whatever. That's how God created me to be. He may have created somebody else to be different. We have this idea that, you know, well, God created us all equal. Well, we are equal in his eyes, but we are different. Men and women are equal in the sight of God, but they are different. It's just like we all drove here in an automobile. They're all automobiles, but they're all different. But they have the characteristics of an automobile. It would be a boring world if we all had to drive the same thing, if we all had to wear the same thing, if we all had to live the same way, live in the same house. It would be very boring. But we all live in a dwelling of some kind, and they all look different. They're all designed different. But they're still a dwelling. Well, the same applies to humankind. We are human beings created in the image of God, but we're all different. We look different. We talk differently. We like different things. We have different gifts. All as a part of God's design. God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The fact that Eve was created from a rib taken from the side of Adam suggests that she was not to control him as the leader, nor to be trampled under his feet as an inferior, but to stand by his side as an equal, to be cherished and protected by him. We were created with a purpose. Part of that purpose was to love and care for women and children. That is the will of God. All of this is a part of God's plan, God's picture. In Philippians 2, 5 and 11, we see kind of a job description that was given to Jesus Christ. We are told to be Jesus Christ, be like Jesus. Ephesians 5, 25, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So God gives us this instruction that we are to love our wives. If you continue reading there, it will also say that man is the head of the house or head of over women as Christ is head of the church. People get their hair in a twist over that statement. You know, well, nobody's over me. Well, when you truly begin to understand that, I mean, in Philippians 2, as I started to say, 5 through 11, we have this description of Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. In essence, we have the job description of Jesus Christ, who in very nature, God. What does that mean? He was God. He was completely God. And yet, he did not consider that as something to be grasped or to hang on to or to hold over you. So he humbled himself and became a servant, taking on the very nature of man. He became like us. So he didn't hold on to his position. He didn't say, oh, Father God, you don't know what you're up to here because I am Jesus. I am God. This submission is beneath me. No, he willingly took that and he became obedient even to death. And it was when he did that he was, what, lifted up so that everyone would say that he is God to the glory of the Father. And so we are to love women. We are to love people in that same manner. I purposely skipped over verse 5 in your notes. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So it's not just in your relationships with women, but it's in your relationships with other men. It's in relationships with your children. It's in relationship with everyone around you. It's in relationship with your neighbor that you are to behave like Christ. Letter A, do not use your position to your advantage. Do not use your position to your advantage. In other words, don't use the fact that you're a man to benefit yourself or to hold others beneath you or to keep a finger on someone. You don't do that. God created you for a purpose, and that purpose wasn't to make everybody serve you. That purpose was so that you would serve everyone. Not just your wives at home, but everyone. Your neighbors. Do your neighbors, when they think of you, do they think of you as a good person? If I were to go and interview all your neighbors and say, what do you think of them? Would they have a good report? Are we a servant to our neighbors? Are we a servant at work? Are we a servant to our wives? Are we a servant to our children? Let it be, strive to be humble. Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He could have used his position. As a matter of fact, when he came to earth, how did the devil tempt him? By using, use your position to your advantage. I mean, if you're really God, you can do all this. But he didn't do that. Are we created in the image of God? Yes. Are we special? Yes. Are we unique? Yes. Are we to flaunt that and to use that to our advantage? No. Not if we're to be Christ-like. And letter C, be a servant to everyone. Be a servant to everyone. Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, and he mentioned this several times, or this is mentioned several times in the Gospels, he called them together and he said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave to all. You want to be a great man? Serve others. You want to be a great man? Serve your kids. You want to be a great man? Great husband? Serve your spouse. You want to be a great wife? Serve your husband. You want to be a great human being? Serve. Serve. That is the biblical passage or pathway to greatness, is becoming a servant. Jesus modeled that. He became a servant. He lowered himself and became a servant so that he might be exalted and that we might be with him forever. So I came in this morning and said that there are lots of words that we use to describe men. But God's word to describe men is servant. That's his word for men, servant. You want to be a man? Be a servant. You want to be a great man? Be a servant. In the original language, that word servant, and in this passage it also mentions slave. And I heard a message by John MacArthur this week talking about the difference between a servant and a slave. A servant decides who they will serve and when they will serve, and they get compensated to serve. A slave serves at the will of his master, with no expectation of compensation and does the will of his master whenever his master requests it. And so without being offensive, let me suggest to you that if we are truly followers of Jesus Christ, we will become his slave. And his request for us as his slave. You say, well, I have an issue with that. Well, the reality is that if we're Christians, we were bought with a price. The price that was paid was the death of Christ. We are bought with a price. We are no longer ours, we are his. And so being the slave of Christ, being the slave of God, he says, humbly serve others. You want to be great? Be a servant. Men, the word for you today is servant. That's the path to greatness. Father, we thank you for this instruction. We thank you that you in your sovereignty have designed us the way we are. We pray, Father, that we would rest in that you know what is best for us, and that we are not a mistake, that we are created by your design, and we are created in your image. And in that process, there are things that sometimes we don't like, but you know what is best. And so we pray, Father, that as your people, that we would simply accept what you have given to us, what you have said to us, what you lead us to, what you bless us with. May we be content with who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. And for the men here this morning, Father, I pray that we might be above all called servants, and that when people speak of us, that they would say, there goes a great individual. Not because of anything in us, but simply because we have served. And in your word, you tell us, Father, that no, even though we are slaves, we are your slaves, you say to us that you no longer call us slaves, but you call us friends. So may we be your friend, and may we be a friend to everyone by serving them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.